Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that have continued to view the show on Facebook, social media, and also, of course, those that take the time to download the podcast and listen to the show. We appreciate it very much. For almost 8 years now, we have been doing the radio and the podcasting now primarily, and the focus has really been the same, and that is education, information. What we do is we have great guests, do a lot of different programs. Mike and I are in typically on Tuesdays now this year, and we either have programs with Jack Russo, and we have a lot of obviously real estate related, but also I'd like to, you know, I really like to consider this a community show in a way, because all the different topics we cover and people who live and work here, it's really about the community. So we'll continue to try to provide those great guests and, again, content and information really with the goal in mind that educate and inform the consumers so that when you go buy home construction, you know, whatever it may be, we hope that we could add a little more knowledge to that base of yours so that when you're making decisions on who to hire, what to do, you feel a little more comfortable, and that's our goal. And as always, make sure you contact us if you have any questions about any of this, or if you have maybe a need for a real estate agent, lenders, we have those, financial planners, CPAs, legal advice, all those type of things. We have a good network here at Real Estate Radio Live. And Mike is in studio. We have a fun and interesting topic today, and that is what time and how much time, I should say, does it take the average consumer? How much time do you consume or spend either buying and or selling a home? So some people might think, well, you know, I mean, typically, Mike, obviously, you know, I think on average people do this every 7 or 8 years, maybe in the Bay Area, right? Or maybe nationwide, that could be a statistic. But so obviously it's not something that someone does every month like a job, but we felt it was worthwhile. We've done a lot of study and research and background about the average time a consumer spends, because this really ties into what we've talked about for years, and that is for busy professionals, or not even professionals, people that are busy in general, and if you're making
money, everyone seems to be busy nowadays.
Is, when you think about it, most people, right? Yeah. The idea is, where is the mechanism, the triggering point, if you will? Some people will say, gee, you know, we've heard it, I could list my home by myself, or I could find a home by myself, or I don't need a real estate agent. And so all those things could be true for some people. And remember, it's not a one fits all. So our goal is here today, I think, Mike, right, is to give you, again, more data, information, education, so that you have an idea. Hey, you're getting ready to buy a home. You're getting ready to list your home. Mike and I are going to take you kind of through step by step and how many hours you will typically spend, you and your family, spouse, partner, whatever it may be, in those transactions, right? I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. Some of the line items, though, are not as simple to figure out, but we're going to give it a general ballpark on those things. But some of them are pretty straightforward as far as the amount of time. I mean, so starting off with the buying side of things, the one of the open-ended items really is, as you mentioned, is researching, doing your own research before you even talk to a real estate agent or a lender, doing your own research online, researching agents, looking at houses, browsing, all of that stuff, which there's so much. I would say 10, 15 years ago, this is probably a lot less than it is now because there wasn't as much information online as there back then as there is now. So we got about 5 hours slated in for that, which probably is a little bit low, but let's just go with 5 hours.
So you know, 5 hours for just basically starting to do your research, looking,
browsing. Yeah, looking at houses when you're at work or whatever, you know. So then it comes to interviewing agents, which you probably, most people will interview two or three, or if they get a referral, just go with the one. But so you have 3 hours there. Then once you choose an agent, you should have an initial consultation with that agent. They should have a presentation for you where they go over a lot of different things. You know, you get to know each other better. You go over the status of the market. They walk you through the buying process. What
strategy
does it take? Kind of what
that
we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And then really dial in your wants and needs, mm-hmm. and go from there. That's what an initial buyer consultation should look like. And that's about an hour is
okay.
the initial consultation, depending on how much you like to talk. And depending on if the two people that are buying are in sync with what they are buying.
Story. I don't know if we get a lot enough time for
yeah.
that.
So, you know,
do you have the average arguments for spouses after consultation?
No, I don't have the average arguments. That's limitless. What I do, actually, I have this cool paper. I got it from my old manager. It's a paper where they go in and fill out like their dream home, and
okay.
it's got numbers, you know, this from 1 to 5 as what you want most mm-hmm. and whatever. And what I do is I tell them, print out 2 copies, go in separate parts of your house,
that's funny.
Fill it out,
mm-hmm.
and then come back together and see how it looks, you know. And that really is a big eye-opener yeah. for people as to whether they're on the same page or not. And then
yeah.
it really helps you shape the whole search. So,
right.
okay, so you got the agent, you
yep.
do the consultation. And, I mean, again, that's even more hours right there if they do that homework on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's say the lending side of things, you got to get pre-approved. So you got a loan consultation, which is probably an hour, gathering documentation, depending on how organized or not you are.
That could be hours.
Could be hours.
Yep.
I put 2
yep.
in there. Okay, now here's the big open-ended one. Viewing houses.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
House shopping.
Right.
Open houses and all that. I got a range from 10 to 20 hours in here.
Probably fair. Yep.
Which is pretty. So we went up on the higher side. I mean, some people could be 50 hours.
Well, when you think about getting
you know?
In your car, right, driving
yeah.
to a location, multiple locations, back
right.
and forth, meeting, sometimes you're waiting to get in, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a
yeah,
fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
There's been people out there that have probably spent 100 hours on this. There's been people out there that maybe spent 1 and bought.
Yeah.
I've worked with someone that bought the first house they saw,
mm-hmm.
you know. So 10 to 20 hours there.
Okay.
Then let's say you find a house you like. To sign the contract is typically about an hour. It could
mm-hmm.
go longer depending on if you're working with an engineer or not, that or an attorney
yeah.
that like to read every
yeah.
line, which is okay. You should know what the contract says, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you got signing the disclosures ahead of time is about an hour.
Okay.
And then, and then there might be another hour in there to gather your other documentation, proof of funds, finalize
mm-hmm.
your pre-approval letter. So I should probably put that in there too. Okay, then you get accepted in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, sometimes you'll do inspections. So there's another couple hours there where you should, as a buyer, if you're going to do your own inspections,
mm-hmm.
meet the inspectors there near the end of their inspections so you can walk through with them all the items that they found.
Okay.
I've had some people stay there the whole time with the inspector, which probably isn't the inspector's most favorite thing, but definitely go through at the end. They like it when the client comes and they can show them each thing that's going to be on the report.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple hours there. Okay, and then you're going to have more loan stuff
yep.
going on through the transaction. That's really where a lot of the heavy lifting is.
It really is once you get in the contract. Yeah.
So I got another 2 hours there.
Okay.
And then you got your sign-off
mm-hmm.
at the title company. 2 hours.
2 hours.
If you're buying with loan paperwork, getting there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a minimum of an hour and a half,
right.
if not 2 hours. Now, the selling side's much easier.
Mm-hmm.
On average, is a half hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
And then walk through. So going and verifying the condition of the property is the same as it was when you got into contract. It's about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the handover of the keys and hugs and all that other stuff is about
yeah.
an hour. And so there's little things in between all of that, but that's in general what you're going to be looking at.
And what we didn't add to this, and you could not to split hairs, Mike, but you know it is when you think about it, even though the work is done with the professionals and your team, remember there's the move, right?
Yeah, well, the move.
So if you're
too.
Moving from an apartment or you're moving from, if you're doing a move-up buyer, regardless, there's... I mean, that's a big emotional thing, packing
Absolutely.
Boxes, preparing, who's going to help you? Is it going to be a truck? Is it going to be, you know, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, and that's on the selling side. We were talking about it before
mm-hmm.
coming on the air, that moving and packing is such an open-ended.
Yeah.
It depends how much crap you have,
yeah.
you know, and how. The other thing I didn't put on here either is repairs, even especially for the selling side. But as a buyer, there is some times where you negotiate
mm-hmm.
repairs to be done. and you got to go back and check on that,
yeah,
and that type of thing. But we didn't want to be on the podcast for 8 hours talking about this. So, but yeah, the move too. But without that move, I mean, we calculated roughly 45 to 50
okay,
hours total.
So that's a great exercise, and eventually, you know, this would be good too. Of course, if anybody's listening to this podcast and you want a copy of this, you say, "Gee, that's kind of interesting. Can I get a copy of this?" You know, we're updating documents, so you could actually get your hands on something like this in the next couple of weeks. So, give us give us a call or send us an email if you want this list, because something to understand. And I know a lot of people fly by the seat of the rear end, and that's fine too. We all have different styles and models, but these kinds of things are
the
good.
The rear end model?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to understand. So Mike just kind of went through a hit list of what I would call average, maybe semi-conservative. So he has 45 to 50 hours. And I think, you know, you could easily say, if you're efficient as hell, maybe that's 30.
Yeah.
And you could easily say, if things don't go so well, it could be 50 or 60. Easy.
Easy, if not more.
Right?
You know?
So
yeah,
if we just take this kind of 45 to 50 hours number, think about that. And I know it depends, right? So 45 to 50 hours, this could be in a 3 to 4 week time period. This could be in a six week time period, eight period. You get what I'm saying. The point is, it depends how long it takes you from start to finish once you get approved, searching, land your deal, buy, move
yeah
in. So the reason why Mike and I are talking about this, and we dig this up and we really want to take it to a level where we analyze it and then pass it on, is that when you're getting ready to make a decision like this, understand that it's not only we talk about the emotional side of it all the time, Mike. I think we've done a good job at addressing how emotional as people have gone through it. I think they would agree.
Yeah.
It's emotional. But I don't think we've, and this is good, I like this, we haven't really talked about the actual time commitment.
Yeah, we haven't.
Because there's the emotional
sure
drain on the bodies, the
yeah
system, the family, the life.
Yeah.
But this is good to kind of put these kind of hand by hand or parallel, run them parallel, right, so that people understand that there's a huge, huge time commitment here.
There is. And this is, and if I could put a plug in for people in our professions,
mm-hmm,
Joe, is that this is why we get paid.
Yeah,
you know, and
it's
people
true
look at what
at the end of the deal, by the way.
At the end of the deal, yeah. And sometimes don't get paid at all
that's
if you don't
true
buy a house. And so the goal, I mean, really what we get paid to do is manage this entire process, be there every
yes
step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when people look at commission structures and all that other stuff, I mean, there's a lot involved
mm-hmm
here. And then on top of that, negotiating the best deal possible for the buyer is the most important part.
Right.
And if you're working with someone, you got to be working with someone that can negotiate. So if I could just put that little plug into there,
yeah,
for people
no, I think
that
it's important
are so commission sensitive
mm-hmm
nowadays. And, you know, everyone's got to get paid. You get paid to do your job. So
right
why don't the real estate agents, the lenders, escrow title, all of them get to get paid too?
Well, and the reason I'm glad you brought that up, because this really just piggybacks and ties into the next kind of conversation I want to have with you. Not so much to, obviously, to highlight and support what we do. That's fine. I mean, I think the people understand that work with us. But mainly for me, too, the reason I want to bring this up is that, and I hope I could articulate this right, the reason, so you've just heard 45 to 50 hours minimum, right? Or kind of average, I'd say average. So this is why I want to talk now about choosing the right team and people, Mike.
Sure.
And what you just mentioned, the reason why is because of this. And I'll say it real simple, and then we could break it down and maybe get a little more granular with it. If it's 45 to 50 hours average on a buy side, when you decide to start looking from the time you look and the time you actually move in, let me tell you, the frustration level and the time commitment could be, the frustration level could come way down or go way up, and the time could go way down or go way up depending on who you work with. And what I'm talking about is a real estate agent and or a loan officer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about now a little bit before we get into the listing side, is this is what's really important. So we all agree this is the average time. What I'm suggesting, what I'm saying, really, I hope this sinks in and pass it along to friends, family, coworkers. When you decide to make a decision on who to hire on the real estate side and lending side, this is why it's so critical, in my opinion, and you would agree with me if you go through it, why you want to choose someone that's a professional, that treats it like a business, that communicates properly, that's efficient, that keeps you on task, all those things, because this could be a living nightmare if you have someone that's unorganized,
yeah,
doesn't do real estate full-time, doesn't do loans full-time. You know, they're cutting lawns or they're doing something else in the afternoon, and that's nothing wrong with cutting lawns. Oh, the last time I did, by the way. Listen to me. So anyway.
The one percenters.
I just use that.
Shout out to the
one percenters. Anyway.
Right,
that's
as you,
the crux of things here.
Right as you were saying, treat it like a business. Yeah. I was literally writing a note, treat it like a business at the same time. And I was writing some notes down. We're choosing the right people, the words, and you just said them too. We were writing it and talking like the same time. Buzzwords to me are experience, references, track record, negotiation skills,
knowledge,
organized, treat it like a business, and communication skills.
No, it's really, and I'm loving going through this exercise more and more, because even though we always talk about this topic or we discuss how difficult it is and why you want to choose the right partners, I think what we need to do a better job, I do, is do stuff like this every once in a while, so we really break it down and then bring it to the surface, so people go, whoa, now that I think about it, I didn't realize that, and now that I've gone through it, Joe or Mike, I realize how important it is to work with someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
To make, because no matter how you shake it, for most people, this is going to be an emotional, kind of trying, frustrating experience. I'm just being honest. I mean, it just is. For some people, go, oh, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Just open up. For 95% of the people, it is trying, emotional. It just is, because it's time-consuming. It's a big decision.
Yeah.
Finance, all the stuff
money,
we went into.
Yeah.
So this is a really good exercise.
Yeah. So transitioning into the selling side.
Yeah.
I think, again, this one's a little bit more open-ended from a timing perspective, just because there's more to do for preparation on the sales side, but let's just go through
it's
it.
True, yeah.
Again, we put in 5 hours for research,
you
know, researching, looking at what your house is worth online, and maybe researching agents, whatever. So we put 5 hours there. That might be low, but 5 hours. Interviewing 3 agents, which you probably should do unless you don't have like a good reference, you should interview a couple of agents. So I put 6 hours there. Listing presentations take longer than buying presentations. So I put 6 hours there. And then signing the paperwork. Once you decide on somebody, I got an hour. Doing the disclosures is going to take longer on the selling side, because there's more information you have to gather about what's your house and what you've done to it. And so I got 2 to 3 hours there. Two major open-ended things here in this selling process. One is preparing the home.
Mm.
That could be, I mean...
or not.
Or not, you know. But... preparing the home, and I'm not even including painting and flooring and all, because you usually bring professionals in for that. I'm just talking about tidying up, declutter, depersonalize, just getting ready, all that. I got a range of 5 to 20 hours here. I'd probably lean more towards the 20.
Taking your naked pictures off the
wall. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny. I don't want to, but stuff pops into my head all of a sudden. That could be dangerous sometimes.
Yeah.
But I never forget, I had an appraisal come in, and... all the, you know how they take pictures of all of someone's house, all the different places. I'm looking at them going, why are all these things like, you know, blanked out, or, you know, they do the fuzzy thing out or something. And then one of them did the opposite. They just left them in there. It's just kind of funny how you're talking about preparing your home and your personal items and stuff. There is a lot to depersonalizing.
Oh, absolutely. religious items.
Not everybody is,
you know, all
thinks
of that.
The way we think.
No, they don't. No, there's
too
I've
bad,
seen
by
some
the way.
Interesting stuff. I've seen some interesting stuff, to say the least.
Anyway,
for
go
sure.
ahead.
So let's go 10 to 20 there. I'm going to forget the 5. Let's go 10 to 20. But MLS, helping the agent. There's a lot of things we have to go through to get a proper, if you're doing the MLS listing right, there's a lot of checkboxes and different things we have to fill out to make sure the proper information's on MLS. So typically you have to answer a bunch of questions with that. I got an hour there. Now, actually, there's 3 major open-ended things. I think the second one here is open houses. Mm. And so that depends on how long the property is on the market. I went on an average of 2 weekends. So typically an open house is 3 to 4 hours. So I put 10 hours there total. Actually, that's 20, because I only did 1 weekend. So 20 hours total. If you have 2 weekends at 4 to 5 hours a day, that's two days in the weekend. So I put 20 hours. I screwed up there, not 10. And then negotiating the deals once you get the deal in.
Reviewing offers,
yeah. Coming up with counteroffers, mm-hmm. strategizing. I got 1 to 5 hours. Okay. It just depends. And then the sign-off, an hour.
Okay.
And then here's another, the third and probably biggest open-ended thing is moving and packing. And
I mean, that,
Jesus,
you think about
who the hell knows?
that could be 3 hours to 30 hours.
Yeah, I mean,
think about it.
I put at least 2 days here to move. You know, you got 1 day packing,
right.
1 day moving, 2 to 3 days. I don't know. So without that, I mean, even without the moving and packing, we got 11, 12, 15. I mean, it's another 45 to 60 hours.
Yeah.
But again, the prep of the home, the open houses and the moving and stuff, those are the biggest chunks.
Do you guys have, I mean, you probably have a list of things like this, but do you have a document that you go over with your clients that actually attaches time to these things?
That's going to be something new after today. Thinking
about this.
Just setting expectations.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I already have flow charts.
Right.
Of the buying process that walks them kind of through everything, and then I have the selling flow charts. I'm just going to tag on the hours to it.
I think it would be interesting, Mike, is as you work through this document, we should spend some time on it too for your clients and other people that wear it. Like, attach, and I'm not a graphics guy, but attach each of these, those flow, there's a flow point. Attach, like, almost, I don't want to say, like, expertise. But this is what the consumer does. This is what the real estate agent does. And then almost have this little summary underneath of, and I don't want to get too much winded on it right now, but
yeah,
for them to understand the difference hiring an expert and a pro and a business-minded person
yeah.
versus someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing
yeah.
is my point.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Like when a real estate agent is supposed to take care of 3, 4, 5 on the flow chart and the consumer or the client goes, well, who takes care of this?
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I thought Mike or I thought Joe was supposed to. I mean, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think this would be
good.
A great tool.
Absolutely. No, I think it would be. I like that idea.
Yeah. So what do you have for roughly hours
50
on the,
plus.
So it's
50
about
plus.
The same.
It's about the same.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, I think there's the selling side is really more circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how much crap you have or what you have to do
yeah.
or, you know, that's really more circumstantial.
Right.
The buying process is a little bit more straightforward. The really big open-ended one with that is how long it takes you to find the right house.
Right. Yeah. No, good point. So as we summarize this, the reason why we wanted to go through this today, and by the way, again, I think this is a valuable tool even if you're thinking about buying or selling or maybe you have a friend, family, coworker, whatever that you know, give us a call, and we're going to have these documents updated and available in the next couple of weeks. I think it's a great tool, and you could learn a lot from it. And the reason why it's important is not to only illustrate this, but I really feel strongly about the fact that when a person looks at this, and if you spend a few minutes just reviewing this flowchart and understanding the time and the commitment it takes on the buy and sell side, that you will see the differences when you hire a true professional versus hiring a rookie, not even a rookie, someone that doesn't understand the business and doesn't know all the ins and outs and where they're going to save you. Because, Mike, I'm just going to, some of this, the time, average time that you illustrated here, mm-hmm. no matter how good you or anybody else is, you know, it still could be that time period.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is, I'm trying to relate to, and I'll let you add to it after I finish here, is that if you hire the right person, these steps and these hours are going to be less frustrating and more clear and less emotional stress
yeah.
on you. Don't you agree? If you hire
yeah.
the right person?
Well, and I think a perfect example of that is like for a listing, okay? If you have prep that you have to mm-hmm. do to the house, you want to hire the right person that has the right team to bring in to help you prepare your home.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having to go out and hire your own painter, you want to have a guy that's got a painter, got a flooring guy, got a stager, got this, got that. Not you going out and interviewing 3 painters, 3 carpet guys, all that.
Well put. I mean, I want to jump in here because Mike makes a really good point. So this is how it goes. Let me tell you, we'll do a little role playing here. So Mike and I are meeting. Mike's the agent. And I'm, you know, he's getting ready to list my house. And I say to Mike, Mike goes, Joe, what I would recommend is that you paint your house and do some landscaping. Okay, Mike, you know, I agree with you. Let's do that. And then I said, well, okay, how do we get that done? And Mike says to me, I'm the client, right? Mike goes, well, do you know any painters? Do you know any landscapers?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you need that leak fixed on the plumbing and the bathroom. Do you know any plumbers? You see what I'm getting here? See, Mike and people who treat this like a business, that conversation will be flipped. When he says, Mike says, you really should do landscaping, painting, and fix this leak, right?
Yeah.
So then you're going to go into, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I have people that take care of this.
Yeah, and I'll bring them in. We'll get the bid.
And I know that sounds simple, but...
It's not. It's
not.
Or
you're
it's not
prepared.
As frequent as one might think, you know?
Right.
So, and that's why a lot of people, a lot of realtors that list homes that are more on the listing side are a little bit more seasoned in the business, because it takes time to get to that point to establish the right team of people to help you execute a listing, get it properly prepared for the market, and have the proper marketing plan, and there's all sorts of steps on the listing side that it just takes time. And and that's not a knock against anyone newer in the business. They can do it too, but it's just, you know, to get established and get that right team. Cause I've gone through a certain amount of painters, you know, I've gone through different flooring guys to find the right guy. We've even talked about handyman before on this show.
It's true.
It takes time to filter through the right people, and every now and then you got to get a new guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways.
These are good.
But that's, I liked your role play because that's true. I'd feel like an ass if I said, oh, hey, do you got someone for this or that? Like,
it happens to me. I do it all the time with clients on the mortgage side. It happens to me all the time. I can't tell you. I mean, if someone, when I'll list the scenarios, you know, how long are you going to be in your home? You would look at a 5-1, 7-1, 10-1, 30-year. Tax benefits, all that stuff. We'll go through it, and it would be someone like saying, you know, Joe, what do you think I should do? And I would put right back, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, so as an expert, now I'm not going to force someone to say, oh, you got to take the 30-year.
Yeah.
But what I will do is I'll talk them through why they might want to consider the 5, 7, 10, or 30.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'll ask them questions. How long are you going to be in the home?
Right.
What if this is a rental down the road? Blah, 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 right? So
exactly. Ultimately
you back into it. But the point is, it's our job. I think most people would agree, especially busy people and people that understand, when they hire us, they are looking for expertise. They are looking for us to make opinions and not necessarily maybe something they initially agree with.
Sure.
But that's why they're hiring you.
Absolutely.
Before we finish up, I wanted to get your feedback on, you know, this market's starting to change. We both think that there's going to be more inventory on. There might be more activity. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking about this time and the importance of hiring the right people, give me your insights or share with us, you know, take us back 3 or 4 years ago when it was a crazy seller's market. And we just talked about all the time and expertise it takes to list the home, get it prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those times like that, there was a lot of agents and people that thought, man, you just list the home and
it's throw it out.
Boom,
there.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So when you're not in a market like that, what types of things should both the consumer and the real estate agent be focused on, knowing that this thing's not going to hit the MLS and then be gone 2 hours later?
No, it's a good question. Preparing the home and pricing the home properly are the two most important things you can do right now. And I would say, you can't throw any house out there and sell. You got to prepare the home. There's different levels of home preparation. You know, the minimum levels. I go through this whole little spiel at the listing table. There's the minimum levels, there's a little bit more than that, then there's the medium, then this can all out flip or whatever. You know, there's different levels, and it just is very circumstantial based on what the house looks like. And then you really got to dial in the comps and the values and really figure out what the right pricing strategy is. There's different pricing strategies too. So I would say those are the two main things right now that you have to really look hard at
before
you list.
All right. Well, I hope this was helpful. It was for me, and I enjoy going through this because I know Mike and I, we provide more and more value by digging in deep and finding out what types of things help people make more educated decisions, and this is one of them. So, again, if you need more information on this, we're going to have these documents available in the next couple of weeks. We're going to update them. They'll be available. I think they'll be valuable in many different ways.
Yeah, we'll do that soon.
Same way, if you need to contact me, joe@reradiolive.com or 408-838-9060. If you need to anything to do with pre-approvals, financing questions, anything at all, make sure that you're prepared for that purchase. How would they contact you, Mike?
Yeah, you go to my website, mikedsells.com, or 408-630-0101.
Very good. Thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Be sure to share it when you can. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.